Ed Hardy knew he was an artist from early childhood. At the age of 10, he became fascinated with tattooing and made that his career goal. After his early teenage years spent surfing in California, he focused on his art. He began exhibiting his work and graduated with a degree from the San Francisco Art Institute. In 1966, after passing up a graduate fellowship from Yale, he began laying the groundwork for his career in tattooing, determined to develop the potential of what was at the time a waning, marginalized folk art. Little did he realize that his immersion in the world of body art would lead him to being considered one of the greatest tattoo artists of all time. He tells his fascinating story in his new book, Where Your Dreams, My Life in Tattoos. Ed Hardy, it's a great pleasure to welcome you to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks very much, Joe. Pleasure to talk to you.
It is stunning as I read this story of your brand, the Ed Hardy brand, over $1 billion in retail licenses worldwide, a 50 different categories generating more than $750 million in retail sales annually. What do you think it is about tattooing that has had such a resurgence that quite frankly you are actually in many ways responsible for?
You know, it's hard for me to summarize this, and I think that first of all, there's something really mysterious about tattooing, and I don't understand really why people get tattoos. It's my friend Lyle Tuttle, who's been in the business far longer than I have, always said that's the magic word. I think it's something that appeals to many in our species for some reason in just a compulsive way. For others, it's something they would never dream of doing. But the imagery itself is so iconic, and I tend to think of like classic American tattoo designs developed from the 19th century on as kind of little pieces of heraldry. And the kind of the boldness of it, the brilliance, the sentiments, you know, very basic human emotions sort of bridge something in people that perhaps it's a simplified code of feelings that aren't expressed as directly in a lot of other things these days. To me, it was a complete astonishing surprise that this brand thing happened. It just, as you can see in the book, I was approached by some people and they saw an article about a painting show of mine, loved the work, said let's put it on clothes, and it just went from there, and I was absolutely floored. I always tell people it's like the Twilight Zone for me. I just can't believe it. But the impulse to be tattooed, I think, has always been there, and it was stomped out and frowned down upon in a lot of societies for the last, you know, several hundred years, and just sort of rose up again as an option. And with the current incredible level of artistry and sanitation and everything else, and a changing of social mores as well, it's come to the forefront in a way. I think there's more people being tattooed today globally than at any time in history. It's just absolutely amazing.
How did your life change when you got your first tattoo?
Well, it was extremely dramatic for me because it reconnected me with that strange, you know, determination at such an early age, because I was galvanized, as you said, at 10. My best friend's dad had these tattoos from World War II, and we focused on them, and I thought, wow, that's the most incredible art that I'd seen. And so when I finally took the leap after going through, you know, a very classical art education, undergraduate degree, headed for Yale, all this stuff, and reconnected with tattooing via an old buddy that I'd known in grade school, and he showed up, he was in the Navy, hey, look, I've got tattoos, and on impulse, a bunch of us went over and got a tattoo that night, and it just sort of riveted me again, and within a few days, I'd connected with a tattooer, Phil Sparrow, in Oakland, that was actually an ex-university professor, and he was the first kind of renegade intellectual, as I like to call him, that I'd met in the business, and had an extremely complex and interesting life above and beyond the perceptible street tattoo scene. And when I met him and he showed me some books of Japanese work, the light went on, and I suddenly thought, oh my God, I'm on the brink of doing this, pursuing a career to graduate degree, try to get a position teaching. In those days, it was pretty easy to get teaching art in universities and have your life track set out for you. So it was a very, very radical move.
For you, has it always been the art? Has it always been the working with the ink and even the skin, but about the image and the art that was the result?
Yes, yeah, it's always been about the art. For me, art is the central thing in my life, and again, you know, I was drawing. I have drawings done when I was 3 years old. It was all that I ever cared about, was just making pictures and looking at art. And when I travel and do anything, I like to look at the natural world and do some other things. But for me, I'm just obsessed with art and art history. That's the core of it all.
So when it comes to body art, when it comes to tattooing, what are the differences? Because you've really been able to take a brand and to have something that works on a forearm also work on the front of a t-shirt.
Yes, a lot of the designs, of course, the Western tradition was more, I guess, what you call badge tattoos, the single images placed on, and sometimes, you know, people would go for some kind of symmetry. I've got one up on this shoulder, I'll get one on the other shoulder. Whereas, you know, the Asian tradition, the Japanese tattoo work, was more fitted to the body. There were larger images and, you know, adapted to the contours of the arm or leg or whatever. So I think all this work just sort of translates very well into garments, and just the sort of flow of the imagery, the rhythm of the way it's drawn and painted, it just translates over very easily.
You stopped actively tattooing in 2008, although you still maintain a studio in San Francisco. What was it that led to that decision of not doing the work anymore?
Essentially, it was to try to carve some time for myself. I figure I'll never retire, because my life is just, you know, I have this wonderful life that doing exactly what I wanted to do, but art is what I'm really doing, and I thought I can retire from my day job. The brand made that possible. I don't have to tattoo every day to pay the rent. And frankly, you know, I tattooed for 40 years. It was wonderful. It's an extremely complicated medium, not only in the tools you use, but in the interpersonal thing, the psychology and dealing with people. And I thought, you know, I think I deserve some time in my studio for what I call my therapy art, my own painting that I pursue that doesn't have to be, I don't have to show it to anybody, no one has to approve of it. You know, tattooing's a commercial art, it's a service business, and so that was what led me to it. And it's not like I dislike tattooing. I go by to the shop almost every day. My son Douglas helps run the place, and Tattoo City in San Francisco's North Beach, which is right near where I went to art school and where I still live. So I just thought, yeah, I can kind of unhook from this and enjoy watching these incredibly talented younger people now that are, you know, miles and miles beyond anything I could ever do technologically with it. It's been gratifying to see it carried along.
You write in the book that my tattoos tell the story of my life. I can trace the times and people of my life through the tattoos on my body. Each one means something to me. On my 50th birthday, my son Doug put a tattoo on me, and I'm glad I had good space left on my arm. So it seems like we should all leave good space at some point.
I think so. I think it's some of these, you know, this passion for it. Now I see young people, primarily younger tattooers, they get completely blanketed with work, and they're so enthusiastic and excited. And, you know, I meet somebody who's not even 30 and goes, yeah, I'm almost covered now, almost finished. And I said, you know, you might think about slowing down, because if you get older and you find that this is such a big part of who you are, and you know, and whether consciously or not, documenting what's been happening with you, it's kind of great to have this space to put another tattoo on when you feel you need one, you know.
Are you, when you look at your career and what you've accomplished and the art that you have provided so many people, I'm curious as to what their input is. I mean, obviously there's you as an artist, but how much do you rely on your client to know what it is that they want on them? How important are they in the equation?
Oh, they're the most important thing because, you know, the first several years, as we say in the book, I tattooed in sailor towns and all that and honed my skills, put on thousands of pieces of pretty much, you know, traditional imagery off the flesh that I painted for the walls. But then when I hit my stride after coming back from working in Japan and opened my private studio in San Francisco in 1974, my whole intent was to do one-of-a-kind tattoos and encourage people to come in and say, okay, you tell me what exactly you want to have, which hence that term, wear your dreams. It was on one of my first business cards, because that didn't exist before. Very, very few tattooers were willing or capable of doing custom work and to develop imagery unique to that person. And I thought that was the whole point. You know, when I got into tattooing, from the beginning, I thought, well, this needs to be opened up because it's idiotic to wear something your whole life and be restricted to, you know, it's like we're going to go out for dinner and here's the menu on the Denny's wall and that's all you're going to get, you know. So the clients were responsible for it. I don't have that many original ideas. My whole career has been developed with, you know, interpreting what the people brought to me for that. And in terms of other artwork, my mentors and people that inspired me, either people I've met that were living or artists from the past that whose works, you know, fired my imagination. So it's just been a process of trying to carry it along and very, very grateful to have the opportunity to be, you know, born at the right time to do that kind of thing.
Well, the name of the book is Wear Your Dreams, My Life in Tattoos. It is published by Thomas Dunn Books. Ed Hardy, a great pleasure to speak with you. I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
Thanks very much, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Wear Your Dreams, My Life in Tattoos, published by St. Martin's Press, a Thomas Dunn book. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.